Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom, our next guest, one of my favorite Michigan Wolverines, a guy I had a chance to play golf with George Economy a couple years out at Forest Acres Golf Course, and a guy you watch play quite a bit. Why don't you introduce John?
Well, Johnny Colazar, number 40 out of Westlake, Ohio, a multi-dimensional guy. John, I want to welcome you to the show, and I want you to go back to that starting off with a very good memory, that 1988 Michigan-Ohio State game when you took that kickoff and you covered half the field, and then you caught the pass from Demetrius Brown. If you could kind of go over that with us a little bit and talk about that to start things out.
Certainly, guys. But actually, you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that game because as I walk in here to the tailgate this morning, I run into the real hero of that game, the guy by the name of Mark Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
The linebacker that caught the interception after that touchdown that actually sealed the victory. And if you recall, we could do nothing to stop Ohio State in that second half. So without that interception by Mark Spencer, then all those yards and all those catches would have been for naught.
John Colazar was one of those guys, Tom, that did a lot more than the statistics ever showed. And that's why he was one of Bo Schembechler's favorite players. And I remember him telling a story when we were on the golf course about a new position he played, or maybe it was just your name for that position, John.
Well, that came up in conversation this week as well. We had a little function down in Warren, Ohio. It was Ohio State and Michigan function. They had Craig Krenzel and Earl Bruce and Dick Schaffrath, Ohio State. And on the Michigan side was myself, Dwight Hicks, and Jim Mueller. And we were talking about those days and the position you mentioned of wide blocker. And and Mo was kind of laughing at me. He says, you know, imagine if we had that offense back then. Imagine what we would do, the Wildcat, this, that, and everything else. I'm like, well, I know, Coach. I was a wide blocker. You're telling me.
You know, John, you know, I think about your career. You started that very special year, and we were talking about Jim Harbaugh earlier in the show about what kind of a leader he was and what kind of coach he was. If I'm not mistaken, he was a quarterback in 85 and a pretty special season in your freshman year. Starting out with that win down there at South Carolina, you remember that game, obviously, in the heat of September, and I think you got thrown into that earlier than you thought you were going to be.
Yeah, no question. If anyone's been down to South Carolina, the pregame festivities are out of this world. They've done, I think it was Space 2000 Odyssey or some theme song that really gets them pumped and actually did more for us, I thought. And Bo always did a good job. And we went away to say, hey, men, we got 60 guys. We're going to take this stadium over. And so, you know, as we were getting pumped up and they played that song, it was really hopping. And right before we go out for the last time, I was kind of second team receiver. I didn't anticipate a lot of time or action other than maybe some running plays. So I was kind of loose, at ease, and we go out for the last time, and then Bo comes up with his finger, points it at my chest, said, son, you're going into kickoff returns. And at that point, then it became real, because then I'm sitting there back with Jamie Morris in front of those 80,000 South Carolina fans on that hot sunny afternoon. And back in those days, ABC, Wide World of Sports, TV, and it was pretty exciting for me. And actually, one of my favorite plays of all time, because the my responsibility on that play was to take the guy on the right side out. And I not only did I block him, I did take him out of the screen and the film on Sunday, but pancaked him into the sidelines. So when people ask me about my favorite play, they think about the catches and the passes and the runs, but it's really that first block I ever had in a Michigan uniform.
You know, Tom, every Michigan State basketball player who played for Judd Heathcote does a Judd impression. I'm betting, listening to John Colazar,
he's pretty good.
That every Wolverine from 1969 through 1989 does a bow. Is that right, John?
Well, just about. Actually, I was talking to Shemmy Schembechler this week, and so Shemmy leaves a message, and he says, Colazar, Schembechler. So I call him back. I said, Schembechler, it's Colazar. And so we're kind of kidding because we're like, hey, you know, it's his dad, and we all have a copyright of the mimicking, so we were kind of laughed about that. But you're right, everybody has a bow imitation, no question about it.
You know, John, a lot of us Michigan alums and fans like myself, and we're all, and I'm sure as you as former players are going back to the Bo era. I know Bo's boys are out there, and What's kind of the pulse, if you would, because I get different, conflicting opinions on this when I talk to former players. Are they buying into the Rich Rodriguez, or are they, you know, yearning for maybe a change with a Les Miles or a Jim Harbaugh? Where do you stand on that perspective?
Well, you know, certainly the style of play and what Bo taught us, and he learned from Woody and all of those coaching trees, the cradle of coaches, and all that, you know, traditional football that we talk about. And I think it really comes down to this. It's really fundamental. And whether what offense you have, and if you look at through the years at Michigan, and this is, goes back to, you know, Yost and the point of minute Yost teams and the 48 championship team and on up to the 70s where we had a full house backfield, and then we converted to the pro-style offense. You know, the offensive theories change, and what Rich Rodriguez brings in here is different than what we're used to, what we're doing. As I mentioned, I was a wide blocker, and I also lined up in the backfield, in the full house backfield as a right halfback. But at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to the fundamentals and teaching the kids how to block, how to tackle, don't make mistakes. And I think in the games that Michigan has played well in, you've seen a good job at blocking and tackling. Again, in games that they have done poorly, and you've seen some of those fundamentals wane somewhat. So, you know, offensive theories, you can argue, you know, I want 3 yards in a cloud of dust, ball control, or I want, razzle dazzle. I think at the end of the day, if the kids execute and they do what they're told to do and how to do it and do it well, then I think you're going to see success.
Are you happy with the progression, though, as a football alumnist?
Well, the offense, I think, obviously has gone to where he wanted to go. And I think I was actually at the Stanford-Arizona State game last week, and, you know, I was looking at Steve Threet for Arizona State. Now, mm-hmm. Steve Threet cannot run Rich Rodriguez's offense,
right.
But he has run the offense, you
we
know,
saw
2 years ago, whenever he was.
Right.
He's got the right player at the quarterback. He's got, two and three guys, actually, Tate and Devin Johnson do a good job as well. And, you know, so, you know, he's got his offense on. And obviously, you know, everyone's read the paper, and we talk about the defense and the challenges they've had. And, you know, they got to shore it up. There's no question about it. Get the kids in the right position. Get them tackling the right way and starting to stop the offense.
Our guest, John Colazar, a pride of Westlake, Ohio, and standout receiver, a kick returner, and wide blocker for the Michigan Wolverines in the mid-1980s. John, you know Bo a lot better than certainly we do. What do you think he was thinking or saying? And we are an FCC-compliant radio station, but what do you think was going through his mind when he watched the Michigan-Illinois game?
Oh, that was a tough one for all of us, wasn't it? You know, obviously we're happy for the kids and the coaches and the win and the bowl eligibility and all that good stuff, and there's no question that, you know, wins take away some of those tough feelings. But it was a tough game to watch for us traditionalists out there. You know, we don't see 67-65, that many points scored in any game. And I remember right after the game I was talking to Bruce Mate about that, and that was the most points scored in Michigan Stadium and history and all that fun stuff. And you know, we've come away with wins at 12-10 Iowa 1985. You know, that was just as good as a game. But like I say, you want to see, you know, these kids, you know, do the right things and block well, tackle well. You know, for the fans and for the media and for the networks, they love 67-65.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's lots to say, and we don't have enough time in this program to talk about the money influence of NCAA football.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I take 12-10 any day versus the 67-65. But at the end of the day, we'll also take a win. So we're happy with that, and happy for those kids that they get to go to a bowl this year.
John, you're still living in the Cleveland area, are you not? In your home?
I do. I live back in Westlake, Ohio. So
okay,
still fighting a good fight.
Okay, now yeah, fighting a good fight with those Ohio State fans. I mean, how are you dealing with this 6 in a row and what's coming up in Columbus? And they're giving you a lot of grief. And are they almost bored with the fact that Michigan is not competitive in the Ohio State game recently?
Well, this is a topic that's been around for almost 20 years now, and the reason why is that Michigan had the success against the Buckeyes in the 90s. And in the early years when Tressel took over and started winning, they were licking their chops and happy. But now, you know, they want Michigan to be better. They want Michigan. Mm-hmm. And again, that function I went to on Wednesday or Tuesday night this week, you know, it's really about, you know, Michigan Ohio State game to us when I played, it was we looked forward to it because it was the best against the best. And it really proved yourself as a player, as a complete player, you know, going through that season, waiting for the Ohio State Michigan game to know that, you know, you playing the best possible team you can play. And I think with Michigan being down the last couple of years. Actually, you know, the 2006 game, we're a little bit better. But I think they're hoping to have it back to where it was in the 70s and in the 80s and the 60s and the 10-year war, where it was more 50-50. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants that because they want to be tested.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think Michigan's going to put a better show on this year. You know, Earl Bruce was saying, you know, talking to us, that you got to beat Wisconsin for us. And I said, quite frankly, Coach, I think we've got a better chance because Ohio State than Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's a more complete team right now. But we'll see how they do today and how they can carry on in the next week.
John Colasar, our guest, former Michigan Wolverine standout. John, the Ohio State-Michigan series has gone back and forth. There was a great period with the 10-year war with Bo and Woody, and both teams have had their runs. But I don't think anyone expected that a year from now we might be talking about a Michigan graduating class that's never beaten Michigan State. Could you have imagined that? You had pretty good success against the Spartans.
Yeah, I did, and you know, it was for a while. It would be like every, you know, 3 out of 4, we would be kind right. of a way we'd win, and we'd lose one here and there. And you know, I think again, some things are cyclical. I think D'Antonio is doing an exceptional job there. You know, you look at D'Antonio and Treadwell. They were defensive and offensive coordinator under Tressel. And you know, if you kind of look at that, you look at, hey, yeah, you know, that style of football is successful.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think part of Michigan State's success is the kids are doing the fundamentals. They're blocking well, they're tackling well. And I think the one game that they lost in Iowa, they didn't. They
right.
made the mistakes. They
right.
had the turnovers and things like that. And once they right the ship and make that right, then it's going to happen. Again, Michigan, you know, I don't think had a complete game all year. You know, they've had brilliances on offenses. The defense is starting to show some color last couple of weeks. But they got to shore up the turnovers. They got to tackle better. And once they do all of those things, you're going to see some success.
John, real quickly before we let you go, we're talking to John Colasar, number 40, the former Michigan Wolverine. Reflect real quickly on that 1988 season. That's one of my fond memories. That was a team that could have easily won the national championship. Had a, you know, that tie against Iowa was a tough one, and losing to, you know, Miami after leading. If you could talk about that year and ending with obviously a big Rose Bowl victory, defeating USC.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, we started the year with Notre Dame, and we lost on the last second field goal. I think Mike Gillette just missed a field goal by a yard left, and then we come back strong. We're winning against Miami 30-14 with 7 minutes left, and we lose on the last second field goal. We bounced back, and we were the best 0-2 team that year. And I think what happened there is Bo realized that, and instead of, you know, chastising and calling us out, he supported us, and we rallied. The irony of that year was that Notre Dame eventually played Miami,
right.
And that game also ended on a last second field goal, if I recall, that Notre Dame winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe at the end of the year we were 1-2-3 or 1-2-4 ranking at the end of the year. So yeah, you're right, and that's just the thing about college football. You know, any given day, any given play, you know, teams could win or lose. And if you look at, you know, Wisconsin's year, look at Michigan State's year and Ohio State year, they all have one loss. When's the last time I've seen three Big Ten teams this late in the season with one loss? And, you know, so it's a credit to what they're doing, but again, it's also, hey, any given day, and you got to do everything right all the time, and it's getting tough for these guys to be successful.
Yeah, we've never had a season where three Big Ten teams have had 33 regular season wins, and we could this year. John, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the game today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Go Blue.
All right. John Colasar, former Michigan wide receiver and kick returner, and really one of my favorite Wolverines.
Oh, yeah. His dad was a former Michigan player, grew up in Ohio, and followed his dad's footsteps and became a Wolverine.
We will be back, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll have our picks, our predictions. A lot of close games this week. So
yeah, I'm catching up a little bit here, too.
You certainly are. You could be in the lead at this time next week. We'll be right back with more of the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.